The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Emmanuel, God with us. That night changed the world. And tonight we're here to celebrate and be reminded on this Christmas Eve as we gather with family, we gather with friends, we gather as a church. To be reminded that this birth narrative is not just about a child that was placed in a manger so that we can have a nativity set. But it was about a night, about a day, and about an event where God is with us. When the angel spoke these words in Matthew chapter 1 to Joseph, he quoted a text from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7. Hear the word again. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The angel was quoting a text from Isaiah chapter 7. What did it mean then in Isaiah 7? Let me take you back some 700 years prior to this moment when Isaiah spoke these first words and he heard these words from the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 7, King Ahaz was the king of Judah, and his back was against the wall. He had two nations, the king of Syria and the king of Israel, who had joined alliances to come against him. And the scriptures say that King Ahaz was so afraid, the Bible says that he shook as though the trees in the wind. He literally foresaw that his nation, his people, were about to be crushed. He was fearful, but God spoke. And God spoke to Ahaz and he says, Ahaz, ask a sign for me as deep as Sheol and as high as the heavens to show you that I will be with you. Ahaz said, Lord, I won't test you. So God says, this will be your sign. The virgin will conceive a child and it will be a sign to you that I am with you. And you shall call that child Emmanuel. And before that child knows the difference, when he gets old enough to know the difference between good and evil, these two nations will be crushed. That has to mean one thing. It was a dual prophetic word. God had a word for Ahaz then, but a promise for something greater for the future. For you see, Isaiah's wife is most likely what people have referred to as the one that was going to conceive and have a child. Not the same type of miracle that we see by Mary, because it was not a conception that was going to happen by the Holy Spirit, but it was going to be a woman that he was going to take as his wife, and she was going to have a child, and she did. And before that child was even grown, those two nations were crushed and God fulfilled to a man who was shaken in the wind that God was with him. A king whose back was against the wall, God showed up and says, look, I'm going to give you a sign and his name is going to be Emmanuel to prove that I am with you. Fast forward 700 years and the people of Israel and the world's back was against the wall with a far greater need than a nation that's coming against us. And the angel speaks and says, behold, as the word that was given through the prophet, Mary, the one that you are espoused to, married to, she's going to have a child. But it's different than Isaiah. This one is going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she's going to have a child, this virgin, and it's going to be conceived, and you are going to call his name Emmanuel, God with us. For you see, the difference is, it wasn't just a nation who was coming against them. It was sin that was against us and our backs were against the wall and we needed a deliverer. The people of Israel had been longing, waiting for God to send redemption. And so he sends it in this child as a sign, evidently to prove to all people that God was now on the scene. For you see, some 500 plus years before this moment, the people of Judah have been sent in exile to Babylon. And when they got sent to Babylon, their temple was destroyed and the Ark of the Covenant was gone. The Ark of the Covenant was this place in the Holy of Holies where the presence of God was a symbol of God with his people. And when the people got to go back to Israel, go back to Jerusalem and build the temple again, They were able to build a temple, but there was no Ark of the Covenant. So for 500 years, the people had a temple. They were going in and doing ritual and just simply going to the Holy of Holies of washing, but there was no Ark of the Covenant. There was no presence of God. But now, the angel speaks and says, your wife is going to have a child, and his name is going to be Emmanuel, God with us. Not just to have the Ark of the Covenant, to have the Shekinah glory, but God himself in person was showing up to be God with us. For you see, we celebrate today, here in this 2020-something years past the time of the birth of Christ, what we're celebrating is not just the Shekinah glory of God's presence in some hidden room, but we're celebrating the fact that God himself showed up in his Son, Jesus Christ, to be God with us. For you see, Jesus, when he came, did not come just to pass through to be here quickly, just to say, hey, God showed up and he left. No, he came to be among us. In John 1, 1 through 2, and verse 14, he says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And notice verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. For you see, put the dots together. And all the longing of the people of God, wanting to have the presence of God, longing for his promise. And the angel shows up and says, your wife is going to have a child. It's not by you, it's by the Holy Spirit. It's going to be a sign to say that God is with us. It's not going to be like before where it's just the Shekinah glory. No, God himself is going to dwell among you. This is what it means to be Emmanuel. That he came, not just to pass through and just put a little mark on it. No, he was coming to dwell among us. Literally there in the text, it means Jesus came to tabernacle among us. He came and planted himself to be here, to dwell among us. Why? If God is omniscient, meaning that he's all-knowing, and he knows all things, and he knows our issues, he knows our struggles, he knows our weaknesses, then why did Jesus need to be God among us? Two texts I want to share with you. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, Paul says it this way. This Jesus did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. And taking on the form of a servant, he was born in the likeness of men. Why did Jesus need to come to be Emmanuel with us? He had to take on the form of a servant. He had to take on human flesh for this very reason. Because a few books later in Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible tells us that Jesus came so that he could be a high priest who would understand our weaknesses, who would understand our struggles, and be tempted in every way that we are, but yet be without sin. This is why God sent Jesus to be Emmanuel. So that he, when he dies upon the cross, he is suffering and dying for people, and we can look at him to say, he understands our struggle. That is what it means to have a God that is Emmanuel. He's not just looking down and just saying that he understands. He walked your road. He walked your struggle. Because he was Emmanuel, he was hungry. He was thirsty. He laughed. He went to work. He had family. He had jokes. He had fun. He had struggles. He had sorrow. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. But I want you to hear me very closely this Christmas Eve. Jesus did not just become Emmanuel, God with us, just so that we could watch it like a movie. That we could see it and say, Jesus came. He took on flesh. He was God with us. For you see, Jesus came to be God with us so that he could be God in us. In the Old Testament, prior to Jesus, people believed in him in faith. and they had a relationship with God, but there was something amazingly miraculous that Jesus promised right before he left. For you see, the fact that God sent Jesus to be God among us, Emmanuel, then Jesus turned and made a promise. He said, for those who will believe in me, I'm going to send another helper, not just to be beside you, but to be in you. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and I will give you another helper to be with you. How long? Forever. In Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, Paul said it this way. When you hear the gospel, the good news, the story of Jesus, and you believe in that gospel, the story of Jesus, that he's the Savior, that he died for sin, you place faith in that. And when you hear it and you believe it, he says, you're sealed and dwelt by the Holy Spirit. For you see, this promise that was given some 700 years by Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 7, that the angel then speaks in Matthew chapter 1 to Joseph. It's not a promise that was 2,000 years ago. It was a promise for you, right here, right now, December 24th, 2021. Emmanuel, God with us, so that he could be in us. Oftentimes, I think when we hear this Christmas story, we wonder, that's a great Christmas story, but what does that mean for me? God with us means practically every day that he is God with you in the routine day-to-day living. When you're working, when you're laughing, when you're dreaming, when you're sleeping, when you're paying bills, when you're buying groceries, when you're going to the park, and when you're going to school, if you're a believer, he is God with you in those moments. Emmanuel. He is God with you, Emmanuel, when your day doesn't go exactly where you planned it to be. When something happens, plans get changed, and you're wondering, oh God, and you're crying out in that moment, I need you because my day's not going the way I wanted it to go. Have you had any of those days? Emmanuel. And God is with us as followers of Jesus Christ when we need him, when our patience is on the brink of explosion. But by God's grace, he helps us to refrain. It's in that moment that he is God with us. But for those of us who don't make it past the brink of explosion and we explode, he's Emmanuel because he's God of grace and forgiveness. He's Emmanuel when the doctor walks in and gives us the news we didn't expect to receive. And at that moment, you're wondering why or how come or how long. And in that moment, he's Emmanuel, God with you. When you get through the other side of cancer treatments and you slowly get your hair back and you begin to regain strength again, he's Emmanuel. He's God with you. And you look back at his faithfulness and you say, he was Emmanuel. He was God with us. And this Christmas season, when you gather around the table and your family gets together and maybe there's one person that's missing who used to always be there, he's going to be Emmanuel for you. He is God with you. When you're praying for a child to adopt or when you're trying to get pregnant and you can't and you're wondering and your heart hurts and your mind is thinking, when will it be? He's Emmanuel with you even in those moments. When you're on your knees for a neighbor, a coworker, a friend or a child or a spouse and you're praying for salvation and you're wondering, oh God, when will they understand? He's Emmanuel with you in the deepest hearts of your prayers. When you're finishing high school and you're going into college and you're wondering if you'll ever make the right career choice or you're wondering if you're going to find the right person, does God even have somebody for you? And you're laboring and you're wondering in every decision that you're making, you said, oh God, he's Emmanuel for you. When you feel that you failed as a parent or a grandparent, you're wondering, when you put your head at your pillow at night, did you mess up too much? He's Emmanuel for you, even in those moments of tears streaming down your cheeks. When you feel so impacted with depression or anxiety and you're wondering how much longer will it be till God delivers you from the depression or the anxiety or this struggle that you're so desperately wanting to kick. And you're praying in those moments, I'm here to tell you, Jesus says He is God with us. And tonight, when you stand before this Lord's Supper table and you come and partake of this meal, you're wondering, are any of us worthy? The answer to that is no, but He is Emmanuel, God with us, even to those of us who've failed. Tonight, this word is just a simple reminder to each of us in this room that if you are a believer and you've placed faith in Jesus Christ, this story goes beyond a manger. And it goes as a reminder to the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in each one of you as a believer that He is God with you. He's God with you at Christmas. And He's God with you in the blazing heat of the summer. He's God with you in the sleepless nights. And He's God with you in the happiest days. That's what it means for Him to be Emmanuel, God with us. We have a reason to be thankful, do we not, church? That He's Emmanuel. But for those of you who are in this room and those you're watching online, and for you, maybe the story is just a story. Maybe it's nostalgic. Maybe it's a great family tradition and you still celebrate Christmas, but yet for you, it's just like you're watching it on the movie reel. God wants to move from the movie reel to your heart and to your soul. And tonight you can do that. Tonight we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper as a reminder to us all and giving thanks in this meal that God came to be with us. In a moment, there'll be men who will be standing here at this table to serve you, to give you bread, and to give you a cup of juice. This meal, this bread, and this juice does not bring salvation to any one of us. That only comes, salvation only comes when we place faith in the one who came. So if you are here tonight, whether you're a member of Redemption or not, if you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, we invite you to the table. We invite you to come. And as you take this bread, it's a reminder to you that Jesus gave His life freely, laid it down. No one took it from Him, but He laid His life down to pay for your sin. His blood was shed. As you drink the cup, as a reminder that through His death, sins could be paid for. To establish a covenant with us, to make this promise of God with us real so that He could be God in you for all eternity. And so in a moment when we come, I invite you to come and celebrate tonight this great promise. That as you come to the table, maybe you just need to take the elements and step back just for a moment and just give thanks in a prayer to say, oh God, thank you. Thank you that although I was unworthy through Jesus Christ, I now can have a relationship with you. Thank you, God, for being Emmanuel, God with us. But maybe you're here this evening and you've never placed faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been a part of a church tradition where you take this Lord's Supper communion on a weekly basis. I'm here to tell you that that's what you're banking your salvation on. It is not what will save you. It is only repenting of sin and placing faith in Jesus Christ. And if tonight you need to do that, I urge you, plead with you, encourage you as you sit there in your seat and as we partake of the Lord's Supper, call out to Jesus. Ask Him to save you of your sins. Commit to follow Him with your life and then follow Him. And then let us know. And then you can come to the table as a believer and a follower of Jesus. Parents, those of you who have children, I encourage you to talk with them. Make certain that they are believers. This is not just a snack. This is a meal to remind us that Jesus gave it to us for those who are His followers, for those who have followed Him and made Emmanuel to be in them. Use it as a moment to teach them, to ask them, to make certain that they themselves are followers of Jesus. So tonight, there's a song that we're going to sing over you as a song of preparation. The song is called, Come All Ye Unfaithful. Most of us know a song, Come All Ye Faithful. But how many of us in this room have been unfaithful at times, who have not always been committed. How many of us have been weak? Many of us in this room. But this table, the Lord's Supper, reminds us that the invitation is to come to Him. And so tonight, as we sing this song, I want to invite you to take this time to prepare your heart to receive the Lord's Supper. I would encourage you just to listen to the words or take some time to pray, so that when this song is done, then there will be men that will be here ready to receive you as when the song is complete, that then you can come when you're ready to receive the Lord's Supper. Once you do receive it, I invite you then to return back to your seats in a very prayerful, respectful, quiet time. This is still worship time. It's not a time to chat. It's a time to worship and a time to give thanks. So we're going to sing this song. Hear these words. Prepare your heart. And when the song is done, there'll be men that will be here ready to receive you, for you to come and celebrate that Jesus is Emmanuel. So I'm going to invite you in this room and even at home just to bow your heads and enter into a time of prayer, just to prepare your heart to be ready to receive the Lord's Supper.